So I just wondered from your experience, what are there particular strengths on the one hand, and then problems or pressure points that you see on the other hand in terms of the cultural infrastructure?
I think the ecology of the infrastructure is very sophisticated, and it's being built up organically. And so I think what happens when you're facing serious cuts is that it's quite difficult to cut in a way that doesn't, in a way that is sensitive to that ecology, because that ecology is not logical or rational. And there is, there's been a big commission about this, so I won't sort of go on about it, but there's a huge weight in London. So a lot of money goes to London, 80% of the subsidy goes to London, but also London is in a position to attract philanthropy in a way that the regions aren't. So this idea that the Arts Council has, guided by the government, that somehow we are going to make up the deficit through an American philanthropic system might have a chance of working in London. It has no chance of working in the regions, and some regions are very, very poor. So it's almost ridiculous to suggest it. So I think that to me, what's very important, just stop me if I'm going in a direction that you don't find useful, but the idea of regional theatre emerged out of the Second World War with the idea that there is a cultural, there is a human right to culture. And that is why individuals should have proximity to culture in their own regions. And that actually it's not a it should be about every person having a right to excellent culture, I think. And that becomes harder and harder because the regions get cut harder and harder, and London gets focused because it, and it's completely political. I mean, you see it in hospitals, and you see it in universities, and you see it in the arts. You're allowed to have three or four beacons of greatness, and then no money for anyone else, which means you get tremendous mediocrity. And my argument would be that it is better for most people to have access to very good culture than very few people have access to excellent culture. That would be my argument, in the same way that I think it is better for most people to have access to very good education and health, rather than very few have access to excellent culture and health. So I suppose that's sort of the thinking. I think what works in this country, I think subsidy is tremendously important, and I've worked in countries where there is no subsidy. And it does have a tremendous effect, because what the little amount of subsidy does in this country is have an enormous impact on culture, both on the fringe, where there is no subsidy, and in the commercial theatre with it, and in television and in film. But if you took the subsidy away, you would find that film and television and commercial theatre would all suffer quite significantly. So I think what works with subsidy is a company like ours, because we're subsidised, we can support fringe and grassroots work, and we can feed commercial work. I have a company of actors downstairs, one of whom is a television star, one of whom it's her first professional job. And the fact that I can put both those people in one show in this theatre says everything about how subsidised theatre is a meeting point and a nucleus for all dramatic arts. And so if you keep shaving away at the subsidised, you basically kill the grassroots. People can't afford, there's no support, there's nowhere for people to move into. You just would end up with a lot of amateur dramatics, but you also can't you don't feed the commercial, and you don't get the actors or the creative teams that go on to make the films and the television. Having said that, I feel really strongly that's been the argument about subsidising regional theatre. But having said that, I also think it's really important that we keep in mind that we should be providing excellence for the people in our regions. We are not simply a feeder for London. And at the moment, the argument is, oh, you have to keep subsidised theatres in the regions because they feed the greatness of the Olympic Games. But actually, it's insulting to the people who work in the regions, but it's also unjust to the people who pay their taxes in the regions and deserve as great an art as anybody else.
You said you worked in some countries there wasn't subsidy.
Yeah.
Which ones were they? What was your experience there?
I've worked at one end in the United States. Mm. I've worked in Italy, in Nigeria, in Uganda, in Croatia, most significantly, and in Brazil. You have a very divided culture. I mean, you have people who get together and make work because they love and need to, but can never make a living out of working in the arts, so they're not professional. There's nowhere for them to aspire to be professional. So they are working very much on the fringe, but often, you know, there is nowhere for them to go. And the work becomes very... I think what's great about our system is that we have some subsidy. I mean, I can indulge myself a bit in producing work. I can take risks and think, well, I think this has an audience and I can try it and I might fail, and it doesn't necessarily mean the theatre will close. But fundamentally, I have to make work that people want to see. And I think if you live in an area, in a working environment where there is no subsidy, you don't have to make work that people want to see. So the kind of theatre that gets made can be very, very... it can be amazing because it can be very rooted in the community and in its grassroots and really meaningful. But it can also become very introverted and disconnected from its audience. And I think that's also true if you get too much subsidy. So I think there are countries where there's been an overflux of subsidy. And again, there is no need to have a relationship with the audience. But what the right level of subsidy does is it forces you to have a relationship with the audience, which means you have to be engaged in a conversation with the audience. And I think too little or too much subsidy sort of gets in the way of that. And then when you go to somewhere like America, you simply have no space to take risk whatsoever. So you can never really move the culture forward because people are always looking for the thing that's going to be the hit, and they're always looking backwards at what's been a hit rather than forwards as to what might be the next step in the evolving language of the theatre. So I think that it also doesn't, it has to play to a certain audience who have an awful lot of money. I mean, our theatre seats are highly, highly subsidised. So even though people might be paying 20 quid a ticket, the cost of that show is 60 quid a ticket, which is why when you go to the West End, it does cost 60 or 70 or 90. That is what it costs to put on a show. So when you are playing to an audience that can afford 80 or 90 or £120 to see a piece of theatre, and that's, you know, excluding babysitting costs and travel and dinner and all the rest of it, then you're playing to a certain strand of society, and you are only producing work for them. You're not producing work for the broad range of society, and in a city like Birmingham, you know, it's a very, very diverse city. It's a very young city. I would say 90% of people would not be able to afford to see that kind of work.
Mm. Yes.
So you would be making work for the 10% that can. Mm. And that means you're making a certain kind of work. and you were making it with a certain kind of artist.
Can you say a bit more what you mean?
Well, if you, you know, if you're looking at the top 10% of society and what their interests are, that is going to be the theatre that you're going to commission is going to come from something that reflects that life. But you're not, for example, we opened the studio with a piece by Soweto Kinch and John Z.D. I mean, that audience is not coming to that show, and that's fine, because that audience has Daytona or 12 Angry Men to come to. That there is work that caters for them, and that work would continue to exist. But I don't know, we're opening a play tonight called Je, which is by a collective of Nigerian artists, which is playing to 140 people tonight and tomorrow night, and that work wouldn't exist, because you wouldn't make that work, because you wouldn't have an audience who could pay for it.